Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying biblical marks becoming a healthy church based on the book Nine Marks of a Healthy Church by Mark Dever. In this session, we'll be looking at Romans chapter 11, verses 33 to 35, biblical theology. Let's read our text, Romans 11, beginning at verse 33. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of wisdom, the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him and it shall be repaid to him? What is God really like? Many words can be used to describe God, and yet there are five adjectives which stand out in Scripture. There's more, but there's five that stand out. First of all, the God of the Bible is a creating God. Hebrews 11, verse 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. He created a special people. God created and chose a particular nation of people, Israel. Some would say, well, that's unfair. Unfair is not a category we apply to God, nor should we. And you and I are not the ones who should apply any quality or attribute to the Lord God. That only reveals our self-interest. He's an electing God. Even if I don't understand, God is the initiator, not us. He's the giver, the creator, and he is the very author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Much of our perspective of God remains a mystery, and that's good. Second, the God of the Bible is a holy God. Luke 22 and verse 20. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. The holy God of the universe wants to enjoy a covenant relationship with us. But he's holy, and we're sinful. Reconciliation must occur with God. Why? Sin separates us from God. No fellowship. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. All of us are sinners. Romans 3:23 makes that clear. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Forgiveness of sin is what we need. The problem? We're not able to deal with sin ourselves. Romans 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Sin needs repair. The atonement. A sacrifice, the atonement, which is a sacrifice which satisfies God's demand that sin be punished. Exodus chapter 12, verse 12 and 13. This is when God's ready to bring Israel out of Egypt, the 10 plagues, the last one. He is going to do the Passover, and the destroying angel is going to go over Egypt, and any house, the firstborn is going to be killed. Doesn't matter what home. The Israelites, the Jews, were instructed to put blood on their doorposts around their door. And when the destroying angel comes over, he'll see the blood and he'll pass over. That's where we get Passover. The text tells it this way. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Move forward to the wilderness tabernacle or in the temple and picture the Day of Atonement ritual. There's the Holy of Holies, and in the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant, and in the Ark is the broken law. And then the blood of the Passover lamb is collected and brought in and covered the mercy seat over the ark. Because you see the broken law is in there, and God's wrath is kindled by the broken law. But the blood of the Passover lamb appeases God's wrath and he's satisfied. Then finally, it's all brought to the cross of Calvary. Because the previous, the tabernacle, the temple, they were just shadows. They were just types of the reality. Jesus Christ is the true Passover lamb. He's the one that provides the blood, the covering for to avoid the destruction of God's wrath. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11 and verse 12, and then a little bit later that in that passage. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats or calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. And then if you drop down to verse 27, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. So the God of the Bible is a holy God who must deal with sin. But Jesus Christ provided the sacrifice, the blood, that we might be passed over for God's judgment. So the God of the Bible is a holy God. And third, the God of the Bible is a faithful God. Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. God is compassionate and gracious. Yes, he is. And yet, he will not leave the guilty unpunished. The prophets spoke of the solution to the riddle of these verses. A kingly Messiah, deliverance, and a suffering servant. And that brought even more confusion. His coming, his return, Jesus Christ solved the riddle. A substitute, a God-man fulfilling God's demand. A man must be punished, but the sacrifice must be perfect. And that required a perfect man. And so that's why Jesus, born of Mary, made him human, made him a man, but he didn't have Adam's blood, which passed on sin. No, Mary was impregnated, not by Joseph, but by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus' blood was absolutely unique. But he had a human body. And so that made him an acceptable sacrifice because he didn't have the sin nature passed on to him from Adam through Joseph. The God of the Bible is a faithful God. So he provided the way. And he sent Jesus after a prophecy of hundreds of years. And then fourth, the God of the Bible is a loving God. How could God forgive mankind's wickedness? Well, Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 47. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to raise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." So, not guilty, because of that being perfect, impregnated by the Holy Spirit, but a man from Mary, not guilty. He took our guilt. He took our guilt on himself. Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6 make this clear. "Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, and yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was on him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." And then Mark chapter 10, verse 45. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. "Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Acts chapter 2, verse 22 down to verse 24. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." The expression of God's love is not that he turns his head and overlooks our sin the way we do to each other and for ourselves. Now, 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 and verse 19. "In this love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation," or the payment, "for our sins, that God would be satisfied." Verse 19, "We love him because he first loved us. So our response to God's love is to repent and to believe. And then fifth, the God of the Bible is a sovereign God. He created the world, he rules his creation, and he will bring judgment on his world. And then he will recreate it again. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, we pray for this to occur. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 down to verse 13. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for the hastening and coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, according to his promise, look for new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And then Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. And then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And then Revelation 21, verse 22 and forward. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need for the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. And then we jump down to chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. God will fulfill his promises. He's sovereign to return one day and bring his plan to eternity. We remind ourselves of this truth in the Lord's Supper formula. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we what? Proclaim his death till he come. God gives his word, his promises, and we respond by trusting him. Adam and Eve did not, and sin entered in. Jesus did, and the sin problem was fixed. You have a great day.